Servanthood and stewardship are inseparable from faithfulness. An unfaithful servant or an untrustworthy steward is a self-contradiction. When Jesus returns, the only absolute requirement by which he will judge his servants is again our faithfulness.
You know, the one thing that God requires of people like you and I, people that serve God, people that have been changed by the Spirit of God, it's not how much schooling we have or how many talents we might use. No, what God requires is faithfulness. And today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook will talk about how to be found faithful in the Lord's service. As we continue our lessons in 1 Corinthians, we'll be looking further at chapter 4 and the first two verses as we draw further timely insights and application on how to be found faithful in the ministry that God places us in, whether it be in the home, the workplace, or church-related. So with today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment, here's Lance.
Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9, we'll get there soon, "For though I am free of all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." The most effective minister in the body of Christ is the minister that understands and surrenders himself to this principle. An individual who says, "I have no rights. I have no authority. The rights and the authority that I have been graciously given to me from the one who saved me." And those ministers who have committed their lives to that end have put themselves in a surrendered position to receive the resources, the endowment, the power, the assistance of that master. Ministers who place themselves above servants of the Lord place themselves in a position to use their own resources, their own ability, their own endowment, their own power. But the effective ministers are the ones who understand and surrender to this principle we're learning tonight. This is just not for those that stand behind a pulpit. This is for dads, for hubbies, for men, for women who want to represent their precious Lord and Savior and the very mysteries that He will entrust to them for the benefit of others. A few weeks back, the Lord impressed upon my heart a message of surrender, to throw a stool out in front of this church and to talk about John 13, and how the world will not be found by the church today unless they are surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and empowered by His Holy Spirit. And the call went forward. Come on forward if that's what you want. And the lines were formed. Question: what's changed in your life since that day? That was the call to this church. Paul was one who, with that same call, said yes and meant it. God is looking for galley slaves. God is looking for men and women who are not interested in the pedestals constructed by men. God is not looking for men and women that are looking for titles, that are looking for the prestige, the pats on the back, the trophies of man. God is looking for men and women who will be His servants, galley slaves, ministers who will consider or who will minister according to the stewardship from which God has entrusted to them. Christian ministers are first and above all servants of Christ. In everything, they are subordinate and subject to Him. They are called to serve men, yes, but in Christ's name. But they cannot serve men rightly unless they see themselves rightly as His underslave, His menial servant. Paul, though an apostle, considered himself a huperatus, a galley slave of his Lord. And he wanted everyone else to consider him and all of God's ministers as just that. Galley slaves were not exalted above the other. They had a common rank, the lowest one. They had the hardest labor, the cruelest punishment, and the least appreciation. Their function was to obey the captain alone, to please their master alone, not man. Later on in chapter 9, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul's preaching the gospel was no cause for boasting or praise. He was only doing his duty. He was only doing what his master had entrusted to him to do, commanded to him to do. As Paul had already written in chapter 3, verse 5, "What then is Apollo? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one." Paul said, even our ability to be his servants was based upon his opportunity, his enablement, his power. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who gives the growth, he would go on to say. Fascinating. Servants of Jesus Christ. When I began the early work of this church as a Bible study teacher, I did not understand this principle. I understood the importance of God's Word. I understood the importance of proclaiming God's Word. I understood that if I'm going to teach it, I've got to understand it or do my best. And I've got to be faithful to that. And as I look back on those early days, those were the first things I began to understand. I didn't understand the nature of people. I didn't understand the nature of ministry. I didn't understand, you know, how to move forward and build a church. Nor was that, you know, where my sights were set. I just knew there was a whole bunch of messed up people, including myself. And I knew that God's Word would be the answer. And I knew that as I began to read this thing, I began to comprehend it. And I began to be able to talk about it. And the more I did this, the more I began to see God's Word have an effect on a life or two. And they would come back for more, and they would have more questions, which drove me more to the Word. Now, back then, I didn't understand the principle, but I was active in the practice, you see. I was simply looking at others and saying they have a need, and I was placing their needs really above my time. And I found my free time absolutely consumed with studying God's Word. I remember in my office, I made surfboards, as you guys know, but I remember my office, I had it all set up for business. And then at the end of the year, one day, I kind of walked back in and I went, man, my desk looks different. And there was shaping dust all over it and everything was all dirty. It looked like a guy's room, trust me. But all along the top part of my desk, I had this growing library. I didn't really realize it, but I was picking up books and commentaries and tape packages. And there was this incredible hunger. I didn't even know it was hunger. I didn't see it as hunger. I just saw it as this is right. This is normal. This is the only thing to do. And I realized that Jesus was becoming the Lord of my life. I realized that His plan for my life, without even knowing what it was, I was beginning to daily connect with that. And I think there's a lot of people today, this is my point, that understand the principle of servanthood. I didn't understand it. I think people understand it. For a whole church to come forward and say, anoint me, pray for me, I want to be used, I think they understand it. I think the problem is putting their feet forward and sacrificially obeying the command. Equipping ourselves to where we can give an answer for the faith that lies within us. Taking in the Word of God before there's a need to deliver it. To where we are a prepared vessel for in the event we cross paths with someone in the workplace, at the gas station, wherever it might be, I am a galley slave already chained to the oar, already, you know, received, if you will, the command, and I'm ready to go. I realize that the Lord dispenses more revelation once we heed revelation. Not hear it, but heed it. He goes on to talk about, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, and then, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. The word stewards here is the Greek word oikonomos, or oikonomos, and it literally means a house manager. The steward was a person who was placed in complete control of a household. He supervised the property, he supervised the fields, the vineyards, even the finances, the food, and even other servants on behalf of the master. Not an owner, but a supervisor of what his master owned. They were in charge of dispensing the master's goods. This, to me, almost shows a progression. I start out by recognizing my position. I'm a galley slave. And with time, the Lord begins to see my faithfulness with that position. And He begins to entrust more. He begins to entrust more. He begins to entrust more. And so I'm now a steward of the mysteries of God. And I come to understand that, what the mysteries are, what He's given me, and the role involved with being a good steward of those mysteries. Again, Paul's plea here is that men would see the ministers in the church as servants, faithfully now dispensing the mysteries of God. Our job is giving to the church that which we have received from the Lord. Mysteries of God here, the truths that God has revealed. Again, that Greek word mystery is that which was hidden, but now has been revealed by divine revelation. God's truth. As stewards of God's mysteries, a minister is to take God's revealed word and dispense it to God's household. He has dispensed all of God's word, holding nothing back. This is what in Acts 20 Paul could, you know, define when he was talking to the Ephesian elders. He said, "Guys, I was faithful with this. I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable. I was teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks, declaring to you the whole purposes of God." Again, in the body of Christ today, there are many that are spiritually malnourished. And I believe it's because so many preachers have not been faithful with dispensing the complete, balanced diet of God's Word. Many do not preach the full counsel, the whole purpose of God. Some preach from parts of the Bible, and they do not teach, you know, the whole Bible, though. A lot of people say, "Well, you teach the Bible, Lance." Yes, I do. Some people say, "Well, you teach from the Bible." And I say, "No, well, that's probably not the accurate description. It's not that I teach from the Bible. I teach the Bible." A lot of guys pick and choose. "Today I want to talk on faith. Next week I want to talk on faith. The next 6 weeks I want to talk on faith. I'm going to do a series on faith." And they're teaching from the Bible. We're teaching the Bible, walking through it. And when you do that, you're going to teach the whole counsel of God. And I'm really glad that as an individual, as one of God's ministers, I've been fortunate enough to be exposed to this style. I've been trained and assisted in teaching this way, because I do believe one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for my ministry. And I want to be able to say that I didn't hold anything back because I was picking my favorite topics. Or I was trying to deal with issues in the church, so I was picking topics, you know, from the Bible rather than teaching the Bible. And so I trust and pray that you appreciate, as attendees of this fellowship, the balanced diet that the Lord gives us through teaching of His Word. There are those who twist God's words. They twist that which the Master has entrusted to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have renounced the hidden, or the things hidden because of shame, or the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God." You see, that's what the cults do today. They twist the scriptures, adulterate the word of God. And rather than bring men to God, the cults are standing between men and God. And we'll save that for another study. Alan Redpath says, "The first step on the road to servanthood is for a man to turn his back deliberately upon all self, ambition, and self-confidence, submitting then to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. When he has done that, he will be entrusted with a flaming message from heaven." It's a heavy message. One of the hardest things for me to observe these days is to see the Word of God go out and to watch it lose its effect on people's lives. Not because it's not alive, not because it's not powerful, not because it's not able to penetrate even their bone marrow, but hearts get hard and ears get dull. It's hard as a pastor, it's hard as a minister that's been entrusted with the mysteries of God in dispensing the Word of God to watch people lose a heart for that. I watch couples sometimes come together. Their marriage has been on the rocks. It's been a life of hell. And they come in and we get back to the Word of God. And you go through counseling with them and it's all about God's Word. And they're reading it. They're memorizing it. And the Lord brings healing. And you see them in fellowship. They'll be sitting in the front row or the back row or the middle, wherever. And they got notebooks out and highlighters and they're smiling. And all of a sudden you don't see them around as much. And when you do see them, it's that short kind of conversation, very surface. They don't want to go deep. They know something's not right. They don't want to deal with it. They just want to come to church. It's part of the obligation now. And it's one of the hardest parts of ministering. I like to read the paper. I don't like what's in the paper so much. Sometimes I do, but I like the shutdown time. I get the paper in the morning and I have a little routine. You know, I kind of look at the little index, and if there's something on there that grabs my attention, then I want my space, my time, and I want to read that. And there's certain political things I follow and certain sport things I follow. But once something captures my attention, there's an ongoing story. Once I've read part of it, maybe you guys are tracking with me right now, maybe you're not. But once I'm like, oh, okay, there's that story. And then, you know, tomorrow, there, you know, it's the development of that story. I can't read the next day and go, oh, I'm just not going to read it, man. I got to have it. Give me my space. Give me my time. I got to read it. No, it's the newspaper. Some of you are that way with novels and different books. You just got to keep going. And that's the way I am with the Word of God. I don't do good at morning when I first get up with the kids getting ready and everything. I don't just sit down and a cup of coffee and just in a busy room and read. I don't. I'm listening to all the conversations. And God's trying to talk to me too, and I got these kids talking to me, you know. Maybe some of you've got that gift. I don't know. I don't. But man, when I begin to pick up where I left off, especially my devotional time, it's a love session. It's a love session. I'm getting just a big old... I'm getting loved on. And I'm becoming fascinated and enlightened. And the Lord is setting things right in my mind towards things that I was discouraged about or worried about. Maybe I was becoming a bit spiritually apathetic and just getting just that negative vibe that the enemy likes to put in your heart sometimes. And you just get the Word going, oh man, there's life again and excitement again. It's like, man, I don't want to put this thing down. And so personally, I experience this. Personally, as an individual, I experience this. So when I take in the Word of God and I study it and I pin it down and I put my hours in and I oh yes, this is great. I feel like, man, we are serving up a meal tonight and there are hungry people and they are excited. And I trust that's you. I really trust that's you. That's why John says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Not just hear it, but they walk in that truth. And that is the greatest privilege, really, I think, of a minister, is to watch the maturing take place in the body, in individuals, in their hearts, in a marriage, in a family, to see the mysteries of God have free course in a person's life. It is the greatest reward. And I so want that for this body. I so want that. When I talk about evangelism, I don't talk about it with the mindset like one day. I talk about it with the mindset of today. I believe God wants to save today. I believe God wants me to have a burden for my lost family and friends today. The heart of God, the Word of God today. What is it saying to me today? What is the effect on me today? Down the road. This is His revelation divinely revealed to me today. It is to have an effect on me today. As Redpath says, we have been entrusted with a flaming message from heaven. And then lastly, we'll close with this last thought. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Trustworthiness. Faithfulness. He is entrusted with his master's household and his possessions. And without faithfulness, both would be in ruin. Above all, God wants His ministers, His servant stewards, to be trustworthy. God desires that His spiritual ministers become consistently obedient to His Word, unwavering in their commitment to be faithful. He doesn't require brilliance or cleverness or creativeness. All those things are good and they have their place. He can use servants with those qualities, but only trustworthiness. Faithfulness is absolutely essential. In verse 17 of this chapter, we might get there Sunday, Paul sent Timothy to minister to the Corinthians because he was beloved and faithful. Faithful with the word of God. In the book of Colossians, Paul mentions two other co-laborers who were outstanding in trustworthiness or faithfulness. Epaphras, who was beloved, fellow bondservant, and a faithful servant of Christ. In chapter 1, verse 7, and Tychicus, who was beloved brethren, faithful servant, and fellow bondservant in the Lord as well. Servanthood and stewardship are inseparable from faithfulness. An unfaithful servant or an untrustworthy steward is a self-contradiction. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave or servant whom his master has put in charge of his household to give him their food at proper time?" Jesus asked. "Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." When Jesus returns, the only absolute requirement by which he will judge his servants is again our faithfulness. Were they true to their Lord's commands? He supplies the word, he supplies his spirit, the gifts, the power. All that the minister can supply is his faithfulness in using those resources. The work is demanding, but in some senses it's simple as well. Taking God's word and feeding it faithfully to his people, dispensing the mysteries of God, proclaiming the hidden truths that he has made known with his power, with his Holy Spirit, with his giftings, that's what makes it simple. But not going beyond or coming up short of God's commands. A steward is not to please the members of his household or other servants. He is to please the master. Great Old Testament example of this. If you guys would like to read again on some of these side notes, Genesis 24, where Abraham called his servant to go out and beckon a bride for his son Isaac. "Put your hand into my thigh." And the instructions were clear to this servant. "I don't want you going, you know, taking a daughter from the, you know, Canaanites. I don't want you going there. But I want you to take 10 of my camels, and I want you to find a woman. I want her to move back here volitionally. I want her to be okay with it. I want you to wait. I want you to find her, and I want you to bring her back willingly." When he finally found Rebekah there at the well, he was amazed. The servant thanked the Lord because, you know, Abraham's desire as a master could be fulfilled. He was so grateful that he was able to honor his master. And so he thanked the Lord, "Oh, Father in heaven, I thank you." And then she, of course, introduces, you know, the servant of Abraham to her brother Laban. And then he just recites his mission. Genesis 24, it's an incredible illustration again. "This is who my master is, and this is what he's called me to do, and this is what I'm going to do." He's a faithful steward. You guys know that story. He brought Rebekah back to Isaac, and they met in the field. Great example. Joseph in Genesis 39 was the chief steward in Potiphar's household. Galatians 6:10, the church is the household of faith. Ministers are stewards who share God's wealth with the family. There is to be no glory here, no ranking one above the other. The best that any minister can be is faithful, which is just fulfilling the basic requirement. So it's not about how popular Paul or Apollos or Peter are. It comes back to, have they been faithful with a work that has been entrusted to them by God? Main issue here is, have Paul and Apollos and Peter been faithful? Main issue with us as well is, have we been faithful?
Well, today on Seeds of Kamema, Lance Cook has been teaching us and drawing some timely principles in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 on how to be found faithful in the ministry that God has placed us in, whether it be in the home or the workplace or even church-related. Now, if you'd like to receive this study in its entirety, maybe to pass on to someone or review it again, well, simply mention tape number 4602-10. That's 4602-10. And simply call us at 714-441-2845. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover Card. Again, simply call us at 714-441-2845. If you're writing a check to us, please make it payable to Seeds of Commitment. The address is 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. That's Seeds of Commitment, 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. To get all of our contact information, simply go to our website at www.seedsofcommitment.org. It's there you can know more about the radio ministry, where you can hear Seeds of Commitment, and other items that we have posted on our website, as well as leaving us your comments and thoughts via email. Simply log on to www.seedsofcommitment.org. Sowing His Word, fulfilling His purpose. This is Seeds of Commitment, the broadcast ministry of Calvary Chapel, La Habra in California. Join Lance Cook for more insights in 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.